So back here again at Tech Out Loud, I'm with Saint Roman in German.
There you go. There's my
You got
halo.
a halo going on.
That's proof.
It looks good. You wear it well, man. You wear it well. So what's been going on this past week?
Well, this week I was getting ready for my review of the division. I just joined the open beta, and
Now,
as
for those not in the know, what is the division?
the division is going to be a Ubisoft Tom Clancy third person MMO, so it's going to be a loot catcher. You're going to have a lot of story content. There's a lot of missions you can do, which are fun, but the whole accent of the game, the focus is going to be on just getting loot and ranking up and beating all other guys on the internet. And they're hoping to establish a really good brand, which is going to top Destiny, which is now like the top MMO competitive game out there. So that's their mission. If they're going to make it, I'm not sure. But you'll see the rest in my review as I play and record footage and get you guys that information.
Great, and you'll be uploading that in a couple of days. All right, a lot going on with Apple. This whole FBI thing that's going on is absolutely crazy. I'm sure anybody who's interested has got to be up to speed on it by now, because it's even in the mainstream news. It's all over the internet. It's on YouTube. It's the top story of every single tech site that you could possibly want to find, except for ours, because I've just been reading it and I just didn't want to say, yeah, me too. But I figured we'd talk about it just a little bit. What's your take on the whole situation?
I'm kind of ambivalent right now, because there's two sides to it. Obviously, we are living in the cloud. We're living on the internet. We're connected, you and me, and all tech people are. So our privacy is our number one priority, right? And then comes iPhone battery life.
A close second, a
It's
very
a
close
close
second.
second. So this is not an easy thing to talk about or to have a formed opinion on for myself personally, because there might be events in the future which are more pressing, right? So the thing, like, we have some hostages, there's a terrorist, and then it's going to be like an in-the-moment decision might arise for Apple or any other company to perform such a task, right?
And those that don't comply might be demonized, will be demonized in the media, of course.
Yeah, depending on the situation. Now,
Right.
the San Bernardino case, the guy has been caught, and now his, like, they want to further progress in their information finding, their data on this guy, or maybe he's connected to a group. So they just want to find what is on his iPhone. And Tim Cook released a letter just signifying that they will honor the privacy of their customers, and that customers trust them with their information, that their most private, intimate form of communication right now. And I think that really, for me, sheds a very positive light on their focus and their morale. On the other hand, they did say that they tried to help the FBI any way they could. I don't know what that entails. He does not specify what that help entails, but I guess cracking that iPhone would be like the most help that they could give them. Yeah, and then there's the issue that Tim Cook mentioned, that if you form a crack for one iPhone and give it to the government, even if they signify that they will not use it on any other full-fledged iPhone information grab in the future, you're not sure.
There's so many different converging issues along with this whole thing. It's really difficult to talk about with anyone who doesn't have an open mind to these things. And obviously, you and I are open to different types of discussion. And the whole privacy thing, the first thing that came to mind with me was that quote by Benjamin Franklin, that paraphrase where it's like, if those who are willing to sacrifice freedom for a little security don't deserve either. And I think that's right. And But when you have someone, you know, people who died, you have a terrorist, you want to get into their iPhone, especially, you know, being in America, you know, I want to prosecute this guy, you know, to the fullest extent. Of course, I think he's dead now, right? They killed the guy, right? Yeah. But they wanted to find out what they could from the iPhone. But I think the only safe ground, the only middle ground, is if the FBI can come up and Apple can figure out some way where they can say, okay, here, Apple, go ahead and you guys take care of this, get the information off of it that you can, and let us have it. But that's shaky ground also. That still would mean that they would have to create a tool that's not created yet to, just like Tim Cook said, to get the information off of there. And once that's created, there's no guarantee that information won't get out there. And even as he said, you know, there's bad apples everywhere, no pun intended, but even in Apple, there's bad apples. So, you know, there's no way to create a tool like that and not have it get out in the world and not have people eventually use it and exploit it. And that is the real underlying issue, because while it is tragic that someone died, we're talking about the freedom of a nation here. And that is ultimately more important than one or two people's lives. That's proved out time and time again, but I really don't know where this is going to land. I think Apple is going to stay strong. I just read an article that Facebook and I think Twitter is standing by Apple also. Mm-hmm. Google. So Facebook and Google, yeah, they're both standing by Apple in this decision to stand strong against the FBI's request. So I really don't know where it's going to land, but we'll see.
And I think Apple has a very unique standpoint here, because they do not rely on a business model that is comprised mainly of collecting people's data and selling them for advertisement. They have a very unique standing. Samsung does, Google does, mm-hmm. and so if they were to step forward with this method that the FBI wants them to, they would tarnish a lot of what makes Apple's customers respect this company.
Yeah, and their stock price would tank immediately. Yeah. There's no way around that. So I it'll be interesting to see how this turns out. I'm really happy about the stance that they're all taking, but I do not have a lot of hope that this is going to end well.
That is going to last?
It's America, you know, so we say, oh, it's just for a little time, you know, we're just going to, taxes, you know, are technically unconstitutional. It was just supposed to be there enough to support the war and then they were going to end, but there's too much money involved. And so, you know, taxes continue on, and same with bridges and all kinds of things that were supposed to be temporary or, you know, that were supposed to be protected and now they're not because they're exploited. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, that was written in a time before, like, firefighters, before a real organized police force, before there were, like, street lights, before there was roads and highways having been paved by the government. So I think the government just realized you can't do it without taxes. Like, all those government institutions have to be fueled by the common society.
No, no doubt. Absolutely. So, and if there wasn't so much corruption in government, it would be a lot easier to swallow.
And your taxes are way lower than ours. Like what we pay on fuel, like we have 2/3 of our like gallon, I suppose, like is taxes, 2/3 of the price.
Is everybody covered in health care there?
Yeah. I mean, obviously.
Not here.
And that is actually my biggest problem in my decision to move to the U.S. That's my biggest worry. Yeah. Just like falling on my face and having to walk around without teeth.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's legitimate. And the problem, again, it's follow the money trail. Real health reform can happen without completely tearing apart the infrastructure that it's built on, which is money and corruption, unfortunately, you know, because, you know, the healthcare providers provide funding for the political candidates. And so they're trapped, their hands are tied. So it is what it is. I mean, it's a broken system. So
getting money out of politics.
Yeah.
Wolfpack.com.
Yeah. I think that's a different podcast, actually.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting.
I did read though. I think yesterday that McAfee, the founder of the antivirus company,
see that? Wasn't that crazy?
Yeah, that was awesome. I love that guy. Anyway, he had one of the like in the last years, his adventure of his life was bizarre, very questionable, but definitely 100% very entertaining. So it's like him blogging. He's on the run from the Belizean government in the forest, blogging on his like satellite. Laptop. Those are some of the best like entertainment bits, better than any movie because it's real and it's happening right now. He's like, I'm blogging from here. My girlfriend, I don't know what she has. We're hungry. Like we're running through the woods. It's great.
It's a superhero.
Kind of, yeah.
But
an anti-hero. We'll call him.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah.
So what he did is offer FBI and Apple. He stepped in and he said, I'd crack that iPhone so Apple doesn't have to.
He said, give me 3 weeks and we'll have it cracked and then Apple won't have to give it and that'll be that. But I think the problem is the FBI, the government, the Supreme Court eventually is going to realize that they have a tiger by the tail here and they're not going to want to let go until they say, hey, you know, this is what you're going to have to do. And I mean, Apple's a private company. So if a private company is forced to give up or create a way to infiltrate people's privacy, this is a real watershed moment. I think everybody's just kind of holding their breath, waiting to see what's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of protesting around here if Apple's hand is forced, I think. So
it's going to be riots in the streets.
Riots in the streets. We'll see.
It's going to look like The Division. There you go.
There's a lot of iPhone owners. So, all right. Well, moving on, I wanted to discuss a little bit about my new acquisition.
There you go. Sweet.
This thing, I have a lot to say about this thing. And this, the one that I got is the 1.3 gigahertz, which turbo boost up to 2.9, 512. I have this shiny case on there. I just got that yesterday. I think it's by a company called Koozie. Or whatever, adds a slight bit of weight to it. But let me tell you something. This MacBook is perfect. This is the perfect machine. It has been a long time. I think most of the internet, most of YouTube that have been complaining about it, talking about battery life and underpowered and so forth, they just don't get it. And I suspected that was the case. I didn't know. I figured, well, when I get it in my hands and I'll put it through its paces, I've had it for the past week, and I'll see what it does for me. It has been a long time since I felt this way about an Apple product. Not to the degree of the iPhone when it came out, because that was life-changing, literally for me. I mean, it changed my business. But when this thing came out, I thought, I think that's going to fit the bill. And when I started using it, as I said on the last podcast, this thing is an upgrade from a tablet. It shouldn't be considered a downgrade from a laptop. And if you don't need all that power, then like as far as Photoshop or Aperture or Lightroom or whatever, or video doing things on Final Cut Pro, if you don't need that power, it's really not an issue. It's powerful enough and portable enough for my needs. And it's fantastic. The keys on here are amazing. They're, as you know, like really, really shallow, but I've gotten used to it. When I tried it out in the store, I thought, it's a little, not enough throw on there. But the more I played around with it, I actually prefer this more than a traditional laptop, MacBook keyboard. And, which actually feels a little bit wobbly to me right now, but they're really stable. They have a nice click to them. And I tell you, the trackpad, this is the same in all the trackpads now for MacBook Pros. The trackpad has ruined me for any other trackpads on the market by any other computer. It is the best trackpad bar none. Even putting aside the gestures and everything, just the feel of it and how it clicks. It's just great. Battery life has been fantastic. I've been getting 8-9 hours as advertised. I mentioned again last podcast that as long as you don't use Chrome, you're okay with it because Chrome kills the battery. But I'm using all things that are optimized for this. And I use Right now I have 5 spaces on here. Everything that I normally use is open. Email, Twitter, messages, photos, iTunes, Safari, and it all works seamlessly. I switch back and forth between them all. They all work seamlessly. Nothing is hanging up on me. There's no, you know, spinning beach balls of death or anything. So I love this machine. The portability of it really just throws everything over the top. Yes, the 480 camera in there is piss poor. It's really, really bad, but I don't use it.
And it's a version one problem.
And it's a version one problem. Exactly. I can't remember the last time I used, other than this podcast, but then again, I'm using my iMac for this, so it doesn't matter. But,
especially what you, the deal you got.
The deal like, I got, oh my gosh.
Because you were mentioning on wanting to wait for Skylake because they will come in the next months.
Well, two things. I just listened to a podcast about that, and they mentioned Skylake. And what was it? I think Renee Ritchie and on iMore, he was talking about it. And he said that the more research that they're doing on Skylake, they're finding out that the speed bump is actually more minimal than they thought it would be. So maybe like about 15%, which is not really noticeable. Battery life is not as a big of a hit. So, and also that they may be having a few problems with the Skylake processors. Now, of course, that'll be fixed before it gets put out there. But I'm starting to feel a lot better about this purchase. Yeah, especially you mentioned the deal that I got. This machine, after taxes, is $1,871. That's way too much for a laptop of this sort. But B&H Photo, yeah, they're selling them for $350 off. And because it's shipped from New York and I'm in New Jersey, there was no sales tax. So I got this top-of-the-line MacBook for $1,399 for $1,400. That's a crazy good deal.
Yeah.
I mean, how could I not, really? So I could actually sell this thing on Craigslist for more than I bought it for.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good feeling.
Yeah,
you made some money. It's a good investment.
Yeah,
like maybe you can tell, but I'm watering from the mouth right now. I'm foaming. I'm watering, and I just ate, so it can't be that I'm hungry, because I was looking for. I had my eye on that MacBook, just as I said, as an authoring tool to write books and just to keep a small laptop, because I'm not doing very much on the road with my MacBook Pro 13-inch. Mm. And even though it's the more powerful one, that just means the battery life isn't as good and the fans, they flare up way too often, even when I'm just not doing a lot of work, just because of the big CPU and the small fan.
And the silence on this thing, let me tell you,
there's nothing to be loud.
There's nothing to be loud, right. It's totally silent. And you had a question last podcast.
Right.
About this thing, about the adapter on there, right? So now this has the case on there, that shiny case. Mm-hmm. It's a really thin, shiny case on there. Look how thin that thing is. Look at that. That's just nuts.
The MacBook Air look like a tank.
It does. My daughters have MacBook Airs, and it makes it look huge. I showed this to my wife, and she said, yeah. So I'm like, come on, man, you're killing me. She just doesn't get it, you know. I'm like, oh, she's not a tech person. I mean, she uses computers and everything, but I'm whatever. But the band that I'm in, I showed it to everybody in the band, and my drummer, he's an IT guy. He was drooling all over this thing. He's typing. He's like, get this away from me. Get it away. It's too much, man. It's too great. But anyway, so I have this case on there. This is the adapter, which is by Satechi. I think it's Satechi. And it plugs in even with the case on there. It plugs in.
That's
there.
Nice.
And so it plugs in. It's pretty flush. So you have the indicator light that, if you see that, goes on there, a little blue indicator light. And so your question last time, where is the USB drive? Let me find the USB drive real quick. Your question was whether or not that adapter would come out easily if you pull a USB drive out of it. And here is sort of another adapter that I have. So I'm going to plug this in. I'm going to test this live. I don't think it'll come out, but so there it is plugged in. And if I pull it out, a little bit of resistance. So this bends a little bit, you know, pulls out a little bit. And so it wants to release, but it's not a problem to pull it out.
Yeah, it's not an issue.
No, it's not. And
just holding it back with the other fingers is fine.
Yeah, just
that's blip. A really, really nice solution for people who are really afraid that they'd have to put like a tumor of a thing on their little MacBook.
Yeah, right? and all the reviews on YouTube, they're all early reviews too. So the only thing that was available then was all these dongles, and it was too expensive from Apple, and theirs are still available. But things like this, I mean, it really makes it a nice piece. I have I bought this little pouch from Waterford Designs. I forget what the name of it. Yeah, Waterfield bags in San Francisco, just to hold all my adapters and things like that in there. And I put that. I carry this and this in the bag that I carried my 15-inch MacBook Pro in, because everything fits in there nicely. So my adapters go with me all the time, whenever I need them. I have another adapter here. This is just a pure USB to USB-C adapter that I pop in there. Charger in here and everything like that. So it's everything I need, all in one place. And it's surprising. Everybody says, oh, there's not enough ports. I think most people would be surprised how infrequently they use the ports that are on their laptops.
And that's the big issue, yeah.
It really is. And I mean, how often do you use a USB key? I mean, yeah, you use it, but it's not that often. And now
it's not as often as like 6 years ago.
No, not at all. And yeah, exactly. And so, you know, they're nice to have, but the adapters are right there. They're cheap. This thing, the portability, I wouldn't recommend buying it if you have to buy it full price. But even this particular model, you can get on the Apple's refurb site for 14 and change, and then plus tax. So it's still a little expensive, but it's not $1,871. You're going to get it in the $1,400 to $1,500 range. So you can get that as a refurb. This was a brand new machine, but. It's just everything you need, and having that portability without having to pull out that big weight of a MacBook Pro if you don't need it, it's the perfect machine. I love this thing.
The big issue I think for all the critics is, yes, if you use a lot of CDs, if you use a lot of floppy disks, right? Mm-hmm. If you use a lot of USBs, this machine is not for you. Mm-hmm. If you notice, oh, I'm not using those things a lot, and I wouldn't mind popping in an adapter, everything else is great, right? I don't use CDs anymore.
Right.
Okay, I'm being a little bit of a hypocrite because I just bought a PS4 and some of the games you do buy on DVDs, right?
Sure.
But you can buy almost everything, every PS4 game digitally in the PlayStation store. So you can choose what to do. Like the CDs you can sell again, right? You can resell them.
Yep.
And the online things are stuck on your machine, but you don't need a CD for it. So there's an up and down for upside and downside to both scenarios. But if I didn't have the PS4, I would not touch DVDs or CDs, like, for the life of me. There is no reason for myself.
And that's just reality. And the one thing that drives me nuts in the reviews that I see is people saying that, well, this thing can't handle Photoshop. It chokes on Final Cut Pro. That's like complaining that your iPhone can't do that. It's not meant for it.
There's iMovie on the iPhone.
Well, and you can use it because I've opened them both and I've used it on here. The thing, what I found out through research and experience, so it turbos up to 2.9, which is very respectable. But it's not a sustained 2.9. There's a gentleman on YouTube called Linus Tech Talks, or Linus Tech Tips, I think. I watch him, and they do some really good experiments on lots of different computers. And they did one on the MacBook. He did a review of the MacBook before. He was pretty critical on it. But again, he was looking at it as a laptop replacement, which it's not a production laptop replacement. It just isn't. Unless you're just a journalist and you just, you know, type away. But anyway, he found out that in quick bursts, it sustains that 2.9 and then you're good. But sustained 2.9, it thermally throttles. So the hotter that it gets, it starts throttling down that 2.9. And he proved that because what he did, he got the MacBook and he put this special material underneath of it, so it kind of sit up on its end, or mm-hmm. on its, you know, sit up a little bit higher. And he put it in a bath of water, of cold water, and he made it come up just so it touched the bottom of it. And he put this sensor on there so you could see the thermal readings, and it got up to 2.9. And as the as the cooling took the temperature down, the 2.9 was sustained.
Oh, okay.
But out of the water, the thermal would go up, right, and the 2.9 would come down. Right. And so that's, so, you know, it's a fantastic machine for what it is. For my production machine, I have my iMac here, but this thing is just perfect. And I also run a piece of software on here called Ableton Live 8, and I use that for the band that I'm in. And so I plug it in, and it has all the sound samples that I need. I'm in a Pink Floyd tribute band, so it has all, you know, there's lots of samples and things that go on there, and it plays it seamlessly, perfectly, no trouble at all. This thing fits right into my life. I'm going to hold on to this thing for a long time, at least a year, year and a half, before I flip it over to the updated one, assuming that the updated one is better. But anyway.
And I'm actually really interested. I just saw on the Apple Byte that, well, their predictions for the new MacBook Pros and the new MacBook Airs. I really have my eye on one of those. I'm not sure which ones. I think I will choose which best fits for my like lifestyle right now. Mm-hmm. And from the pricing perspective, I think that they all will have a updated screen resolution, which for me, having an old MacBook Pro is my concern number one, because it's the thing you use most. You look at your screen. That's right. Your whole workspace. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have to complain. You and me, we don't have to complain about battery life on any of the MacBook Pros. We don't have to complain about the keys, the keyboard. We don't have to complain about our touchpad. Mm. We don't have to really complain about performance. We only, like, that's the only issue for me personally that's left, where I'm like, 1200, what is that, 1280 by 800?
Oh, for the MacBook Air?
And the MacBook Pro. The MacBook Air has more. It actually has, I think, something like, it's 1920 by 1080p.
Yeah, but the MacBook Pro doesn't have, the MacBook Air doesn't have a Retina screen.
It does not have Retina, but right, it is better than the MacBook Pro, which is just abysmal. It's 720p, right?
You mean the latest MacBook Pros with the Retinas?
No, the old ones.
Oh, the older ones.
There are, like, they released, I think last year, they released a MacBook Pro 13-inch. Mm-hmm. It's like the beginner's model,
right,
with the same resolution, but updated the trackpad and the internals.
Right. I had that for a little while.
I mean, I have to say that the OS X, it does a way better job of rendering your whole workspace with typography and graphics and whatever than Windows does.
Sure.
Every time I went back to Windows 7 back in the days, even having maybe a better resolution or the same resolution on my iMac, for example, I switched over to Windows 7 in my boot camp, and I'm like, what is this? Why does this look so... So it's not very sharp. The text is flingy, and I'm like, "What is this? Oh, it's Windows. So why doesn't it look as just normal typography in the OS? Mm-hmm. Looks worse, or in Word, it looks worse, and that's just due to the OS
It's not optimized for the hardware, and that's the problem. And I think that's the real key to something like the MacBook. It's just everything's optimized. And what in the world are they going to do if they put a Retina screen on the MacBook Air? I mean, the MacBook Air is a lot more powerful than the MacBook at this point, but it's also less expensive. So if they put a MacBook Air with a Retina screen out there, what are they going to do with the cost? How are they going to match it up against the MacBook itself? And it's kind of a...
Do you remember when the first unibody MacBook came out? Do you remember that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Very much, yeah.
My girlfriend back in the day, she bought one of those, and I'm just like, I was still a Windows person. I'm like, yeah, it's cute, you know, it looks nice. It's like a cookie jar kind of thing. Like, sure. It's pretty cool. And then I got into it, and obviously I was hooked. But it took the unibody to hook me, and that thing was expensive. I don't know how much money she spent. She went to, like, to get deals, student deals, and her dad was a teacher, and he had, like, teacher discount and all that stuff, educational discount with other stuff. And then
it had to be, what, $1,400, something like that?
I think it was more.
Wow.
And then it was euros when the dollar was in the bucket, and we could almost fly to the US and, like, save money buying
and just not get a laptop.
It's actually what a radio station did. They sent two people to buy a Christmas presents. One guy had to do it in Berlin and one guy in New York.
Wow.
And the other guy on the same the purchase order and the same amount of money, and the guy had to pay the flight to New York with the money, and he actually came back with $10.
Wow.
So that's what the situation was. And so it was for us, and for like a student, like a college student, it was an expensive piece of equipment. Mm. But for her, being like an illustrator major and whatever, it was a thing she had to get, obviously.
Perfect. Yeah. Yep.
But you see what they did afterwards. They took that whole premise of the MacBook, the unibody, everything's all, it's just a gorgeous design, right? Mm. Not just then, but now. I'm still looking at it. I'm not seeing anything on the market that looks like this, and this is old already.
Yeah.
And then they switched, they just put like a Pro behind it.
Right.
And the MacBook was, then they updated to the polymer, the white plastic one again.
Yeah.
The same shape, and they had them running parallel, and then you're like, what are they going to do now? They updated the MacBook Airs to the unibody. And then you had your whole product line. You had your MacBook Pro 13-inch, you had your MacBook Air, and then came the MacBook Air 11-inch. So they kind of twisted it, and then they had like a logical kind of, what do you call it? Like a product line.
Yeah.
They had and a logical
then product line. They discontinued the polymer one like in a year. It was gone.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it was the same price pretty much as the MacBook Pro 13-inch, and then they slimmed down in price for that, so everybody that wants to get the plastic one gets that one because it's just way better. I think that's what's going to happen in a long-term progression with the new MacBook. They're going to take that technology, not the fanless part of it, but everything else.
You know, I think the hard part is that it's really Apple does a really, well, I don't know if they do a great job anymore, but they do they make a lot of commercials for Apple Music and things like that. You do not see a lot of commercials for the Apple line of laptops, let alone their other products. But as far as this conversation is concerned, I don't know that I've ever seen in the past year, 2 years, a laptop commercial. You see, they do the keynote. You see one or two of the commercials, you know, where a finger's opening up the laptop, and then that's it, and that's all you see. If they would get on the media and sell the MacBook for what it is, the portability, the convenience of it, there's just so much to like about this machine. But as a production machine, it doesn't make sense as much as the MacBook Air does, even though it doesn't have much of a screen. They could really sell on that. And then if you want the MacBook Pro, if they just got out there and explained it to people, I think people would even people in the tech world would stop trying to compare the MacBook against the MacBook Pro and say, oh, this thing sucks, it doesn't do this. Well, it's not supposed to. It's just, it's a ridiculous thing. This thing is, I'm telling you, I love this machine. If you can't tell, I'm gushing over it. It's just, it's such a great machine. And it's pretty and it has the looks and it's really stylish on top of it. So that's the nice cherry on top of the sundae, which is great. And it's, you know, and it's enviable and stuff. I don't really buy things for people to say, oh, wow, look at that guy. Although my drummer, like I said, he freaked out on it. But, and that was all fun and everything. But just on a day-to-day basis, this thing is so nice and easy to use. I just can't imagine going back as a secondary laptop. Or even, I don't even use my iPad anymore. I mean, what's the point? I just open this up and I have more functionality and more use out of this. And it's just as powerful as the iPad. So, I don't know.
Actually doing the iPad and the iOS was supposed to be doing easy tasks more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Just open it, right? Bam, bam. Put touch on the Safari, type stuff in. I think I'm faster on my Mac.
Oh, easily. Easily. I think the iPad is more fun, or at least it was for a while. I mean, it was great to, you know, use your finger and say, wow, I'm flipping through my music and I'm doing this, and now I'm multitasking and I can make things bigger and smaller and pinch it. I tell you what, if, and I know they say they're not going to, but if they ever put this quality of screen as a touch screen on their computer line, iPad's dead. There's no point to, other than, like, you know, if you had a profession where you needed something to carry around and do it. It is definitely convenient. There's a lot to say about it. I love my iPad as well, but I just don't use it as much.
Apple is not advertising Macs just because not a lot of people have Macs. Mm. It has surged, but as far as a business model or the amount of their income, it's a very, very small amount of money that they're getting from Macs. Mm. I'm sad because of it, because I love the Mac. I don't want them cutting them off. I don't want them changing them.
Well, this last quarter, didn't they increase in, didn't they report an increase in Macs? I thought they did.
I did not listen to that.
Yeah, it's not huge, but there was definitely an increase while the iPad is decreasing, which I'm fine with. I think, I think that the Achilles heel with the iPad is that they make them so good, and the software is so good that people aren't turning them over like they said. So there's, of course, it's going to dive down a little bit. And now there's rumors that they're going to have an iPad 3 at this next announcement with the functionality and power of the iPad Pro, which I don't know. The whole thing is just weird to me. I'm fine with my iPad 2, and like I said, I don't use it now that I have this MacBook. It's just I don't know.
I think they let the people do the advertisement for the Macs.
That's
for them.
True.
They're like, okay, it's a very small part of our business, but we are proud and we are confident of this product that everyone is going to, like, I don't know, maybe trash their bank account to get one of these. Just to, I don't know, go rob somebody for this MacBook Pro just to have it.
Yeah.
And in the days where they were infrequently seen at cafes or public places, like, people just did the advertising for them because nobody had this steel aluminum looking thing, and everybody was like, what is that? It's a MacBook. And look what I can do.
Big shiny apple.
Big shiny apple on the back.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, let me write type with it. Oh, that feels awesome. What is that? That's a trackpad. What? And then smooth. It's silky smooth. Now, like, I haven't seen a Windows trackpad. They haven't caught up. Maybe they don't care. I don't know.
No, there's very few that get close. I think, like, Lenovo does an okay job. There's some decent trackpads, but, you know, Apple's the top of the line as far as that
goes.
But
it's the same price segment then.
It is. It is. Yep.
And then, no.
Well, look, we're going to have to truncate this a little bit. I have to get out of here, but I wanted to let everybody know that they can go to techoutloud.com. We'll put a little link up for techoutloud.com that you can go and visit and see these videos and see some reporting that we're going to be doing on there. There's also there's older stories on there as well, but we're going to update some content, put some more content onto the YouTube channel. We're going to keep pumping it out. You'll be having your game reviews on there with the PS4, and I'll put this MacBook review up there. Looking forward to continuing this on. Anything else you wanted to add to the conversation before we go?
Well, just to let people know, I'll be doing reviews for games once I get the workflow done, because I just started today. I just have to, well, literally get in the flow of things, and you'll be seeing more game reviews or thoughts, and I'll be joining as many open betas as I can to show you some impromptu game footage and my opinion on games that haven't come out yet. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting. I'm having a lot of fun doing it.
As someone who's not a gamer, I'm looking forward to learning all about it. So, seeing your reviews. All right, man. Well, we're going to get out of here. Thanks for dropping by, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Take care, brother.